Going from 300,000 of sales to 1.2 million in January on TikTok shops alone. Paul, you won't even let me pronounce his last name. Paul J, because it's hard to pronounce, from BK Beauty is actually coming on the show today to share all the ins and outs of TikTok shops. I get so many questions around this from people on sales calls, inbound on Twitter. TikTok just tends to be this hot ticket item. People love to talk about it. Certainly was a thing in 2022. Now it's coming back with TikTok shops. It's a closed loop system. Paul's going to talk about all the ins and outs, how to get on, how to take advantage of it, the tips and tricks to be set up for success. But a closed loop system working with creators, affiliate commissions, videos go viral, and there's this flywheel effect that is really, really amazing. And not just in the beauty category. So this is going to be a really insightful episode, a long one, but jam-packed, full of value. Really excited to dive in with you guys, and let's jump in. Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Mighty Scout, an influencer tracking tool. So you've probably heard Taylor and I talk about Mighty Scout at length in past episodes, but today we want to take special time to speak to it specifically. So if you are investing in any sort of influencer marketing to a degree, I highly suggest getting on Mighty Scout. First of all, it's going to track all of your organic posting that goes out. So if you're doing seeding, pay for posts, you can drop in all your influencers by campaign. And then once those influencers are in those campaigns, they're going to immediately start being tracked if and when they mention you by handle or any hashtags that you give it. So it's going to give and pull all that content, most importantly, so that you can know who posted, you can reach out for content rights, etc. Also, it's going to give you all the reporting and ROI on those things as far as metrics wise. So you're going to be able to know the vanity metrics that go out around those influencer posts. You're going to know everything that it goes into around influencer marketing in regards to Mighty Scout. So if you haven't checked them out, highly, highly suggest them. Go to mightyscout.com to find out more. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Influencer Marketing Blueprint. I'm joined by Paul. That's what he said. Just don't even worry about my last name. It's too hard to pronounce. But Paul over at BK Beauty, we met through the ECF community, and then we've stayed in touch through doing dinners in Austin. And the last dinner that we did out in Austin a few months ago, the D2C Supper Club, shout out to the Supper Club, is we had Paul kind of do like a little fireside chat around everything TikTok shop. So I said, hey, man, we got to get you on the pod and talk about this, because I know I'm continually on sales calls where people are talking about TikTok shops. You know, I think in 2022, it was kind of a hot topic of just TikTok ads or just getting on TikTok. It kind of had like a 6 month moment, it felt like, and then it kind of died off where you stopped seeing TikTok, you know, clickbaity case studies on Twitter. But now it's back with shops, and you guys are having a lot of success. So anyways, that was a long-winded intro. But Paul J, thanks for joining the show, my man.
Yeah, Cody, good to see you. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I'm excited to get into it. TikTok shop is definitely front of mind for us. It's what we're radically focusing on. It's what all the other, you know, merchants and brand owners and operators have been reaching out to me to kind of start conversations about in terms of what we're seeing. And yeah, when you invited me out to the Supper Club to get up and kind of share in front of that group, that was really the first time I started to bring these things to the surface publicly. And I think it just really resonated. Like you said, like TikTok has been around and has evolved from, you know, the platform with dancing videos to really over the last 6 months, the entire platform has just not only leaned in, but it is transforming into a commerce platform. It has not bolted on commerce to an it is radically transforming. Excited to get into it and kind of share a little bit more about our experience and some of those takeaways.
So you shared a case study back in 2020 about how you managed to scale BK Beauty. And also, in answer to this question, just give a quick context of what BK Beauty is. Obviously, beauty being in the brand, it's obviously within the beauty category. But you shared about how you scaled the business without paid ads. And I'm just curious, like, how the business has evolved over time, and then we can get into the TikTok shop side of things.
Yeah, totally. So BK Beauty, my wife and I, we launched it. We are in the beauty category, but we focus primarily on makeup brushes and tools. And so there's a story behind that. But yeah, we launched direct to consumer on Shopify out of the gate in 2019. But our story really started many years before that. And so my wife, Lisa, she's the one with the real product expertise and passion for the space. She's a professional makeup artist. And about 10 years ago, she took to YouTube just as an outlet for that passion with no expectations of what it would lead to, starting putting out videos nights and weekends. Back then, YouTube was a very different space. The whole influencer space was very different. And so I got to see, you know, front and center what it looked like for a content creator to not only get their start in the early days, but slow and steady grow their platform and their audience and their reach. And so Lisa, about 3 years into it, started connecting dots as her audience grew and realizing that she had an opportunity to monetize and make a little money by talking and sharing, you know, the products that she loved, that she was already doing, but then leveraging affiliate links. She was starting to get the attention of brands who would send, her products, to experience and enjoy and ultimately hopefully share with her audience. And so we all that to be said, you know, we sit at a very interesting point in that we deeply understand the mindset and motivation of content creator, my wife being one. And so we've operated the business as we've started to grow. And by the way, my background's in business and marketing. And so fast forward through Lisa's journey as she grew the audience, had the opportunity to go full-time content creator about 5 years into it, something like that. So she quit her day job, was loving what she was doing. It was really kind of the whole influencer space was really starting to just start to ramp and afford creators the opportunity to go full-time with their passions. And so fast forward a little bit further, we realized we had an opportunity to develop our own brand and our own products. And so my background is in business marketing. And we took the steps to start building a brand, BK Beauty. Lisa was sitting on a mountain of affiliate sales data. And so we really understood not only the content creator landscape, but that initial, the buying behavior of that initial audience that she had built up. And so everything from pricing to which products that we started with and focused on the brushes, like everything was informed by the audience and the data. And we launched 2019 and it took off. And then to your point, we grew the business early days on more organic, working kind of within the creator ecosystem, doing a lot of product sampling and relationship building with content creators, supported by our own affiliate programs. Obviously, having a deep working knowledge of the mechanics of how creators operate really helped guide exactly the building blocks we needed to put in place to play in that sandbox and be successful. And so we set up, you know, our affiliate program, started tapping into sub-affiliate networks like the Like to Notes of the world and others now, and started running that playbook. And that playbook took us from, you know, going from zero to about a $5 million business annually in about 3 years. And then along the way, we started to, you know, get into paid acquisition as well, and really started to getting to a point where we could push the throttle on paid acquisition because we had such a great organic base. And so ultimately, we were able to lift off and expand pretty quickly from Lisa's own reach, obviously, by working with other content creators. But now I would say the majority of our customers don't even know about Lisa and her connection to the brand. And so we've kind of left orbit from that perspective. And then so layering on paid acquisition got us up to an 8-figure brand pretty quickly. And then And then TikTok Shop came around about 6 months ago. And that initial playbook that we used to build the business organically, we started seeing all the building blocks that we took off the shelf to run that playbook, right? The product seeding, which was a manual process early days with YouTube, a lot of outreach, as I know you're familiar with, there's a lot of lift to that, but and overhead. But fortunately, we already had the internal muscles developed to operate like that. We had built out our teams from, you know, content first, influencer relations, everything that went into supporting growing a business through that playbook. And with TikTok Shop, they have all of those components built in under the hood from product sampling, affiliate programs, working with creators, shoppable videos. Everything happens within that closed loop system. And so yeah, early days, like you said, that case study is really where we started, and it's where our strengths are in terms of our brand DNA. But now, as I think social commerce is starting to really elevate to the next level, I think TikTok Shop is leading the way, but there's, you know, YouTube Shopping is taking notes and reorienting with what they're seeing. I'm sure there's more to come from Meta Shops on that front, which I'm super excited about. So yeah, I'll go ahead and stop there. But yeah, that's a little bit about where we've come from, where we are today, and what we're super excited about going forward.
So many nuggets in there. One of the things that I was thinking of is to get to 5 million just simply on the backs of influencer and organic is a really hard thing to do. I don't come across many brands that have that experience, but when you have that foundation, throwing on paid, it's like such low-hanging fruit at that point. It's so easy to just quickly double that. And then another thing too, it's funny, you know, every once in a while when I talk about our seeding strategy, you know, I get, you know, I guess you could say trolls that come on and comment, people that are maybe represent talent, or, hey, you need to be paying creators, like you need to be like you're screwing them over, you know, you're taking advantage of them, all this stuff. And it's interesting because, first of all, that's not true. You know, second of all, it's interesting when you have someone that came from that world, starts their own brand, and then not only doesn't start with pay for post, but starts with the complete opposite of complete product seeding, relationship first. Hey, let's get the product into their hands and let the cream rise to the top. Let's work with people that actually love the product. When so often the people that are actually talking bad about this product are not influencers themselves. Maybe they represent that talent. And it's funny when you have an influencer, and I've talked to other influencers that have said the same things, where it's like, oh yeah, I'd only want to work with a company that I actually believe and authentically buy the product, or would want to work with that product or brand long term. So I just had to say that, just because it's when I hear your story, and I've heard this story probably 2 to 3 times from you at this point, and now the listeners are hearing it for the first time, I just think it's interesting. Like when there's a lot of noise on influencer marketing where it comes of like, you got to be paying these people. And to be clear, I'm not anti-pay. I just think there's a proper point by which you introduce money into the conversation, but I don't think it should be the first step. That's all I'm saying. That's all why I think product seeding is so effective, is you're letting the brand and product speak for itself, letting that be the focus. So anyways, end of sermon, end of rant, but I think that is really interesting from your guys' side of things.
Well, I definitely have some thoughts there, and I completely agree with you. And yeah, it always starts with the product. And so that's table stakes. And so if you have that going for you, you can certainly take the approach we did. It's a slower approach. I think it's really building a strong foundation, which is important. And like you said, when we started to really lean in and ramp on the paid acquisition side, it was easy for us.
Right.
I feel as though like the halo effect that the awareness from and touch points that the creators are continuing to give us just makes our ads more performative in terms of the payback we're getting. But also from the influencer's perspective, again, we kind of sit on straddle both sides of the fence. And so we get to see it from both sides, the brand's perspective, but also the creators. And at the end of the day, content creators, in terms of like integrated paid ads or dedicated videos, if it's on YouTube, like they have a finite amount of inventory to give you. And on top of that, there is always a delicate balance between taking on, paid gigs effectively, and balancing that with the more organic, you know, sharing the products you love. Not to say that there isn't authenticity from the paid side as well, if there's complete alignment. But certainly there's room for both to thrive. And at the end of the day, with product sampling and getting your products in creators' hands, it might be category dependent, but for sure in the beauty category, like there is a never ending supply of, again, the creators need to be talking about the products, and in our space, they're providing education, product reviews. And so it's effectively what their day in and day out looks like. And so you're providing them that next opportunity to speak about a product, and assuming that they love it, they'll continue to talk and share about it. But yeah.
Let's jump into the TikTok shop side of things. So you mentioned you kind of gave up to speed within 6 months, get launched. You're just coming off of ECF Live, and I keep saying ECF, e-commerce fuel community. Shout out to ECF, phenomenal community. Andrew Udarian runs it. But you just spoke at their national conference, all on TikTok shop. So you're just coming fresh off of this. You know, you sent me some of your slides of your deck, but you talked about the closed loop system. You talk about how it's all integrated. Why don't we start with how do brands even just get on? Because even people that they've struggled to even get accepted, or, you know, people are having some questions around this.
Yeah, for us, it was just right time, right place, and I think right people. Again, we had those muscles developed in-house, internally. We saw what TikTok packaged and had, and we saw some early success, and we just leaned in and radically focused. Like, we had everyone drop what they were doing, and now we're totally rowing in the same direction towards TikTok shop. And for us, that story began back in August of last year, mid-August. We found an email invite to their, they had just launched their beta, kind of testing it out. We were one of the first merchants and brands to get onboarded. And in terms of integration to your question, I can share our experience. Our initial integration point, we used a third-party integration called Silk Commerce. Early days, and still today, like I hear from other people, there are a lot of challenges. We still have challenges in terms of integration points, product syncing. We ultimately switched over when Shopify rolled out their native integration offering. Back, I think it was in October. And so we already had a good, 2 months under our belt. We flipped the switch and went to Shopify. It's a much simpler integration on that side, which I think is helpful, because it allows you to really focus on, again, the integration really should be doing two things. One is order management, right? Syncing the orders, and then, inventory and product management as well. And that's it. Everything else should really be taking place within the TikTok shop platform. And for us, we got onboarded, set it up, didn't know what to expect. We just flipped the switch. We were able to get our shop up back in mid-August. And very opportunistically, about 10 days later, it was a weekend, and we had our first big video hit that just was that initial sign of success that caused us to really lean in and radically focus. And so I mentioned that we built our playbook early days, grew the business by product sampling, product seeding. We had been doing that on TikTok. We got our starts on YouTube, but on TikTok, we had been doing that for 18 months leading up to TikTok shop coming on the scene. And so we had already done the hard work. We had product out in the field. People were already talking about us. And so we were just ready to go. And so for us, that enabled us to really see the early success and run with it in a very big way. And so the first video that hit, it was actually Selena Gomez's makeup artist. Her name's Melissa. She had already been talking about one of our brushes, makeup brushes, and using it over and over. And also the unique thing about our products and why we started with makeup brushes from a strategic standpoint is in the beauty category and the makeup tutorials, if you think about it, first, it's such a well-defined creator ecosystem, which definitely helps as well. But the makeup brushes for us, our initial distribution we knew was on YouTube, working with creators. The one commonality behind all of those makeup tutorial videos is they're always using a brush. And so the creator might be talking about the next, you know, eyeshadow palette from brand X, Y, or Z, but they're using our brush, right? And so in that video, our product is a supporting cast member. Our product could be a featured star role within a video. And so for us, the nature of not only the beauty category and the well-defined creator space, but the fact that we're on the tooling side allows us to have so many touch points in every single video and not really get old. And so from that perspective, we already had our product out in the field. It was being used quite a bit. And then very fortunately, Melissa on TikTok, she's a TikTok first creator. She has a pretty well-established following, puts out great content. She was one of the first creators to stumble upon TikTok Shop too. At the time when we got on, we were one of the first brands and merchants on the platform. But at the time, no content creators knew about it either. It came out of nowhere. And so the stars aligned. Melissa found us on TikTok Shop, linked us in one of her videos, and that video generated over the next 7 days, $14,000 in sales. And so that was the moment at which we dropped everything and just started to radically focus on TikTok Shops and scaling that up.
Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Social Snowball, an affiliate platform for e-com that is focused on enabling affiliate partnerships for what I like to call the modern affiliate. So not the traditional affiliates, publishers, blogs, etc. This is the modern affiliate, such as creators, ambassadors, influencers, customers, etc. So there's many things I love about Social Snowball. One of the first things that comes to mind is they eliminate all code leaks. So if your codes that have gone out to influencers or affiliates have ended up on coupon sites, Social Snowball would eliminate this. Also, it's very important to have a tiered-based system to motivate your affiliates to continue to post and generate revenue for you. So they make that super seamless. Make it super easy on the affiliate to get paid out any which way that they like. So Venmo, PayPal, directly to their bank, on a Visa gift card, Amazon gift card, all that, etc. If you guys haven't checked them out, they're on the Shopify App Store. Go check them out today. You're missing out. They are clearly the best and our number one recommendation for affiliate marketing. So you have in your deck from ECF is a tweet from you in October of 2023. On the 18th, TikTok Shop is percentage of sales is 14%. And then by the 29th, it's 56% of your sales.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just real quick, probably just a real big preview. I threw this out on Twitter too before we're recording, but you did 1.2 on TikTok Shops, 1.2 million, that is, on TikTok Shops alone. And the rise is 100K, 330K, 1.3 in November, 740 in December, 1.2 in January. So for those people listening, if Paul had any credibility to why we brought him up to talk about TikTok Shop, this is why. So he definitely has the formula for success here. So just wanted to throw that out there, just as if you needed more credibility to help out this conversation, just context of like just how much it has changed your business. But anyways, keep going.
Yeah, it definitely has materially changed our business in what feels like overnight. And so, August we got on, October, August we did, I think 100,000 total sales. September was 330, or maybe I have that.
September is 100 in your slides.
Yeah. So September. Yeah. So we started a ramp. So September, our biggest challenge was getting creators activated. So the existing creators that I mentioned were already talking about our products in the field within TikTok. Our goal was starting to spread the word, activating them, getting them enrolled and aware of TikTok shops and how they can start monetizing and really supporting the business that they're in a big way, by leveraging TikTok shops and tagging videos. As we started to activate creators in September, we did 100,000 in sales, which was phenomenal. But as you mentioned, it started to ramp pretty quickly. October, 330,000. And towards the end of October, as you mentioned, the last week of October, it really just started to hit. And so for the first time, we are starting to see TikTok shop sales eclipse our .com sales in certain days as stuff was firing. And for us, having the good solid 2 months leading up to November when holiday starts to hit, it allowed us to really battle test not only our internal operations, but how we approach TikTok shop. And so we were ready in a very big way to knock it out of the park in November, as we started to really ramp up holiday sales. A lot of the existing creators started to get activated, leveraging TikTok shops. And really leaning into it in a really big way. And so, yeah, November, we did 1.3 million in TikTok shops alone. Continued to see growth. I think as we got into December, we started dealing with some stockouts. As you can imagine, if you know your business doubles, our lead time for we issue a purchase order, our lead time to get inventory in is about 3 or 4 months. And so we got hit a little bit there, but then quickly got it back online and ramped up in a big way and kicked that flywheel in motion in January. Towards the end of the year, I think the big question in my head was, okay, TikTok is supporting this with a lot of subsidies out there as we kind of carried through November. December, they started to fade in terms of the subsidies. They weren't as strong. And so the big question in my head was, okay, now I'm in the position where I'm placing big bets from a purchasing standpoint. I'm really ramping up our inventory position to support this new high growth channel. But what does 2024 look like? Like, is January, are we going to come down to reality and TikTok shop will be fine, but not the continued growth? But yeah, so very fortunately, we took a lot of lessons learned in terms of what we were seeing throughout the ramp in November and December, and ultimately started to leverage those takeaways to start building our own momentum in January to help sustain the growth. And so, yeah, in January, we did 1.2 million, and that validated for me the possibility of continued growth throughout 2024 on the channel. And so, yeah, it was super, super exciting. And
you have a slide in here where I don't know if you mean specifically, I'm assuming not just about BFCM and holiday, but you talk about the TikTok shop momentum, that it's a virtuous cycle where you have affiliate videos, sales conversions, and then affiliate commissions. The algorithm pushes it, which gets more views, more conversions, and then there's more product sampling to the more affiliates. And you talk about products already seeded. Do you already mean like to people that have already received product once, and so now they can go back and double dip? And I know you mentioned this at the Supper Club too, like on your Q&A, you just talked about, man, it's so easy to just keep this on repeat. Can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, totally. So our big takeaway from November, and definitely towards the end of September when we started to rebuild the momentum, was this understanding of the flywheel effect in TikTok shop. I mentioned they put together under the hood all the components that we use to run our playbook to grow our business back 4 years ago. But everything's under the hood in terms of product sampling, affiliate commissions for the creators, and all that good stuff. And so if you think about it, we had already done the hard work. We already had products in the hands of creators. They were ready to go. We just needed to activate them. And so what incentivizes, obviously, the creators to do more of what they're already doing and conditioning their behavior is the built-in commission program. So now for the first time, they're getting compensated. So again, it's this virtuous cycle. And then ultimately, once those conversions start to kick in, the algorithm is leaning into it and starting to boost and elevate that content, because now one of the primary signals that algorithm is using is transaction data, right? It's not just relying on engagement data like it was before. And, you know, we both know that TikTok, from a platform standpoint, it's one of the platforms, the opportunity to go viral, it's like none other, right? And so as they've layered in the commerce component to that, the force driver that is getting that momentum and building those waves and those trends of virality is now being pushed by commerce and transactions. And so that further incentivizes it. Again, you think of this virtuous cycle. A creator posts video, tags the product, it's getting conversions, the algorithm's pushing it, it's getting more views because the algorithm's pushing it, it's getting more conversions, more people are seeing it. And now on top of that, you layer in this other mechanism where there's an inbound product sampling request feature. And so early days, that was not firing, right? But as we started to get tons of momentum, more people are seeing it, more videos are popping off. And now we have inbound interest of creators who are requesting our products now. And so that has reduced the overhead internally to really start ramping up product sampling in a new way for us. And so there are some days where we will have, you know, upwards of 20, 30 product sampling requests inbound that we're looking through, and it's all automated. It generates the order for us, you ship it out. And again, this is just compounding this flywheel in a major way. And so it's all about how can you build that momentum, get that flywheel started. And I think for us, what we saw in November is, you know, we had already had our products out there. That's the hard part, right? Getting your products out in people's hands and getting people talking about it. Then in terms of really getting momentum started, what we saw in November was TikTok subsidies were just going nuts. And so they were really making a big play.
Is that still happening, by the way?
To a far less extent to what we were seeing. It is still happening a little bit. I think one of the big takeaways for us was that's a control that we have at our disposal, you know, the discount lever, the affiliate commission lever, right? And finding the right balance between those two levers to get the initial push to that flywheel and then start, you know, dialing back on it a little bit once you start getting momentum going and that virtuous cycle sustained and in motion. And so one of the big takeaways and recommendations I have for folks who are looking to explore TikTok shops for their business is don't be afraid to play and test, you know, the discount lever and the commission rate lever early to try and get traction. I think it goes a long way. We saw the power of it in November, you know, as TikTok was supporting that effort. Now we see it as a really great tool within TikTok shop at the, you know, disposal of brands and merchants to be able to take control of that as it makes sense for their business.
Yeah, I love what you just brought up, because it's just a unit economics game where you can play on those levers, right? Where it's like, if you just can pull from a unit economics perspective, you already have your COGS, but and all that shipping, all that stuff. But if you add in the discount and the affiliate commission, as long as it's pretty close or comparable to your Facebook CAC, like, and most often the time it's going to beat that, you should be running this all day long, especially on the affiliate basis. So, okay, so what I gotta ask, you know, if I'm listening to this, one of the things that I'm thinking is, okay, Paul, you have a lot of things set up for you for success. You've been working with TikTok influencers a bunch already. Like you talked about your products in the wild. I haven't worked with any TikTok influencers. You have a brand and product that is very tutorial focus, easy to demonstrate, easy to highlight in a, you know, in a product video. I might not have that depending on my category. There's certain things that are set up for you for success. You're in a category that there's just a plethora of influencers and creators that are talking about beauty products, and it's very versus a men's skincare brand, for example, or just any men's brand. Shout out to only a men's skew brand. But what would you say to those people that just haven't been seeding product? They're not familiar with TikTok influencers. They've actually never worked with one. They have a product that is a lot harder and in a category that is a lot harder. Speak to those people that are listening right now where it's like, is TikTok shops for me? Like, is this whole 33 minutes kind of a waste of time, or it sounds cool, good for you, Paul, but not for my business? Like, would you say, oh, heck no, it's for everybody? Like, elaborate on that.
Yeah, it's a good question. There's a lot to get excited about with TikTok shops and the few success stories that you're seeing out there. But yeah, the reality is it might not be for everyone. I think our brand and kind of what you described and what I've shared, like, we were optimized for it. We were ready. I'm a big believer in radical focus. And so for us, like, we dropped everything, and this was our radical focus because it just mapped so closely to our strengths and what we were conditioned for internally. And so for us, it made a lot of sense. I think it for any other brand, it's definitely worth trying and experimenting with. I think, again, if you haven't done product seeding, like, that's the hard part. And I think that is a part that might leave people struggling to find quick success and maybe get frustrated with it. But it starts by getting the product in the creator's hands. Like, that's a non-starter. And so that's the heavy lift. There is overhead in terms of, like, getting that started. But yeah, it may not be for everyone. Now, category and product dependent, I don't know if I buy into that. And so in the beauty category, the number one, like, they are doing crazy numbers. But it's, I always forget the name and how to say it, but it's like it's basically an oil pulling, like, you swish it around your mouth and you spit it out. It's a trend. Guana something. Anyways, they are crushing
The Guru Nanda thing.
Yes, thank you. Guru Nanda.
I literally just, you have screenshots. Again, I keep referencing your deck, but you were kind enough to send these over. But I was looking at, you know, this is during November, or on a day in November, the top TikTok shop brands. And I just Googled, because I've heard of some of these, like Elf Cosmetics and stuff like that. But Beach Waver was a curling iron. Unineed is a fashion beauty retailer. My Smile teeth whitening. FHI Heat is a hairstyling. Guru Nanda healthcare, swisher on your teeth. So tangentially, all very related to, like, something that you show, you highlight, very postable products, kind of in that cosmetics, beauty, health and wellness category. But this is a screenshot in a moment of time. Doesn't necessarily mean it's true today.
Exactly. And so yeah, a few things. What you're describing internally, TikTok shop has posted a kind of a leaderboard in terms of, it's category specific, so you enroll in it and then it kind of stack ranks you against other beauty and personal care brands, and it basically maps you in order of sales on any given day or period. And so you can dive in and see who is trending. And I think that's the big takeaway. Like, TikTok shop, it's about the trend. It's about that snapshot in time. Guru Nanda, oil pulling, like, they have been able to sustain this trend and own that trend from a product sales perspective. And it's again, it's like, what is that viral thing? What is that wave that has been built in terms of a trend over time? And so that's another big takeaway of mine coming out of holiday is, you know, not only how you can start leveraging that flywheel and that virtuous cycle with all the various components and features built in under the hood with TikTok Shop. But more importantly, how can you create or ride trends within the ecosystem, right? Within TikTok Shop. And so oil pulling and health benefits from that, like that is very clearly a massive trend right now. It has been sustained. It's evident by Guru Nanda being, you know, top of that leaderboard for, you know, week over week over week. I mean, they must be doing tens of million dollars, months, right? It's crazy. Speaking about like another brand out there listening to this, can my product category, can I fit in and do well on TikTok Shop? I think what I would first do is look and kind of be within TikTok, be within the ecosystem, understand what trends are going on, find your niche within that. And, you know, most of these product categories will find a home, whether it's, you know, I mean, within cooking, within, you know, health and fitness, within beauty, lifestyle, fashion, like consumer trends are everywhere. And so how can you identify those trends, ride those waves, and start to create the waves of your own within TikTok Shop?
Is TikTok Creator Marketplace synced with shops? I don't even know that question. Are you guys actively using cold outbound on TikTok Creator Marketplace and syncing that with shops? Because that would be my advice to people that want to get on TikTok, start seeding product is TikTok Creator Marketplace. It's free. Just sign up and you have people that hand raise. You can invite creators into certain campaigns, etc. But now is Shop integrated with that or vice versa?
So Shop has its own feature sets, very similar. And so within Shop, when you first get dropped in, there's a lot going on. They have a seller center, but then there's also an affiliate center. And so within affiliate center, it allows you to set up and establish your commission programs. And so you can set an open plan that is just anyone who has your product, wants to talk about it and can tag it, can, you know, be eligible for commission under the open plan. Within affiliate center, there's also the inbound product sampling request where, you know, creators, like you said, can raise their hand and request a product sample that you can then qualify and make the decision to send out product.
It's not necessarily outbound or like discovery of influencers.
There is a discovery, yeah. And so another element within there is a creator discovery tool as well.
Interesting.
We started using that early days because it was just made available and it made a lot of sense to go down that path. We didn't find too much success with that. I think the reason being is a lot of the creators we wanted to reach out to, like it just gets lost in their DMs, right? They can't keep up with that stuff. And so that's one way that you can use to kind of make the initial outbound outreach, like a cold outreach, but also leveraging, you know, direct DMs, emails, however you're able to kind of make contact.
Well, a lot in here. I expected this podcast to go long because there's just a plethora of good tips, very practical takeaways for people listening on around this topic. Any last minute advice, kind of takeaways that you'd want to leave listeners with regarding TikTok Shop?
Yeah, I think what you hinted on is an important takeaway. Like if you're curious about TikTok Shop and you haven't got on there yet, definitely check it out. But again, there could be other channels that may perform better for your specific and, you know, focus is important. For us, TikTok Shops was a phenomenal channel for us. We're still thriving there and continuing to place big bets. I think the bigger takeaway that TikTok Shops has really opened us up to is just the notion of social commerce in general. And so TikTok Shops is leading the way, but YouTube Shopping is leaning in and reorienting. Meta Shops, you know, I think has some additional work to do to tap into this side of what we've experienced on TikTok Shop. And so I'm just incredibly optimistic and bullish on just social commerce in general and the way that TikTok Shops is approaching it. And so if social commerce working within the creator ecosystem by leveraging product sampling, and we haven't even talked about, you know, from, you know, once on the organic side of what we're doing, like TikTok Shops has paid ads. And so it's just, that's the next level of this virtuous cycle. It's just taking the organic content that you have such visibility in terms of like what's performing well, and then just, you know, dropping that.
So I'm assuming you guys have done that at this point.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely a part of it. And then another big takeaway, I know we're going long, but the halo effect is just crazy. Whether you're on TikTok or not, what you have to understand is just from like a consumer's standpoint or just consuming content, right? If you're not on TikTok, like TikTok is influencing you. Like that is where culture and trends start. They spill over, whether it's, you know, memes or music or songs, like it just pervades beyond the walls of TikTok. And now they've tapped into commerce and trending commerce. And what we've experienced is, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we got featured on a daytime talk show, Tamara Hall. She gave away our product to the entire studio audience. It was on ABC. And like, it was just this incredible, like that came because of the halo effect of TikTok, right? Our Amazon branded search volume like is just shooting through the roof right now. We're not on Amazon, but we will be. And as a result of just the trending and virality that we're experiencing on TikTok, like the halo effect is spilled over there. Our .com sales have lifted in a big way. And all that to be said is because like the viral nature of that platform, and as you kind of layer on brand and commerce, there's a lot of magic that happens on the organic side. There's a lot of, you know, scalable, predictable revenue you can introduce as you tap into paid within TikTok Shop. But then even beyond that, the halo effect to every other nook and cranny out there, there's incredible amount of value that we've experienced.
Every time I try to wrap up the show, I think of 3 to 4 more questions, but I probably should wrap it up. But man, you talked about radical focus, and bravo to you, man. Like, everybody's looking for a silver bullet. They don't exist. You might be listening to this episode thinking that this is a silver bullet, and it's clearly not, because a lot of the takeaway is, if you're not on TikTok, you need to be doing product sampling. Well, Paul's been doing this for 3 years, 4 years at this point, and now he's just reaping a 6 months of his labor that has been built on behind the scenes before this ever came to be. So, I mean, you talk about radical focus. You've had a radical focus for 4 years of building a really awesome and successful brand product. So bravo to you, and bravo to the success that you're having over the last 6 months on the specific channel. And Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing tips and tricks with the audience.
Yeah, good to see you, Cody. I appreciate the invite and the conversation. Have a good one.